Good morning. Welcome again to everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for another opportunity to gather together and worship you and look into your word and hear from you. God, I pray that you would guide my thoughts as I share and bless the rest of our day and the baptism. Just pray that you would draw us all closer together and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'd like to look at our identity in Christ. What is identity and why does our identity matter? Identity is who we are and what we think about ourselves. We need to have a proper understanding of our identity in order to view ourselves accurately the way God does. If we don't have a proper identity, we'll likely struggle to live a victorious Christian life. As Christians, is our identity in Christ, or is it in the things that we do? Or is it in what others think of us? If our identity is in what others think of us, we will likely be very insecure, always trying to please everyone. If it's in how we live and the things that we do, then we'll feel self-sufficient and self-righteous. Our identity needs to be in Christ and what he has done for us. And then we must live according to that identity. Many of you know that I recently started a new job. Instead of dismantling buildings, I'm now installing gutters. So going from a job that I've done for the last 10 years and that I'm very experienced in to something I've never done before is a fairly significant change, and there's a lot of new things to learn. So instead of knowing exactly what to do and how to do it, I have to constantly ask how things should be done. And that's kind of humbling. And on top of that, like usual when you're learning something new, you make mistakes. And that's more than humbling, it's embarrassing. So, what does that have to do with identity? If my identity was completely wrapped up in how I perform at my job, then I might be going through an identity crisis. I don't think it is. It might be. I'm not saying I don't have any identity in my work, but or that it's wrong, you know, to have some identity in your work. But it's not a very secure thing to put your identity in. And I think a bigger problem is if we put our identity in what we do spiritually. Our identity needs to be in who God is and what he has done. Because God doesn't change, and our identity will be secure if we place it in him. Recently, I read a series of books about several children whose father was a king. And over throughout the story, they remembered and sometimes had to be reminded who they were and who their father was. They were children of the king. They had certain roles to fill because of that. And sometimes they didn't want to fill those roles. There were hard things that were required of them because of who their father was. And they wished they didn't have to do those hard things. But the fact remained that they were the children of the king. And when difficulties arose, they acted courageously out of that reality. I believe that's how it is for us as children of God. We must remember who we are and live out of that reality. What we do does not determine who we are, but who we are determines what we do. So a little, I guess I'll write on the board a bit of the outline. Look at who we are, our identity in Christ. And our identity in the church. And then how our identity affects how we live. And then under how we live also, how we live individually and collectively. So I'm going to go quickly over what God's word says about who we are. And then I'll dig in deeper into the scriptures, looking at how that identity plays out in our lives. So if you have chosen to follow Jesus, these things are who you are. You are crucified with Christ. You are dead to sin. You are risen with Christ. You are a child of God. You have been adopted into God's family. You are chosen and accepted. You are a new creation. You are God's workmanship. And you are a friend of Jesus. I'm sure there would be many more, but there's the ones that I have. Does it feel like that's who you are? Do you always act like a new creation? Do you always live like you are crucified with Christ? Do you always feel chosen and accepted? Whether or not we feel it, the reality is that's who we are in Christ. To understand our identity in Christ, let's look a little bit at who Christ is and what he did for us. So Jesus is God. He's the Son of God the Father. And he died to defeat sin and death, and so that our relationship with God could be restored. So the only way that we can be crucified with Christ and dead to sin is because of what he did, because Jesus was crucified and died for us. The only reason that we can be risen with Christ is because he rose from the dead. The only way that we can be Jesus' friends is because he loved us and chose us and came to earth. And we can be adopted as children of God because of what Jesus did for us. We also have a collective identity in Christ as the people of God. It's still, I believe, an identity in Christ, not in people. We have an identity in the church because it is Christ's body. We're not placing our identity in the people, but in Christ, who is the head of the body. Think about how we should relate to each other in the church in light of who we are as the church. We are the body of Christ. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are members of the family of God. So now moving into how our identity affects the way that we live. Let's turn to Romans 6, verse 3. Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. We'll stop there for now. Baptism, as it talks about here, symbolizes the death of our old life and our new life in Christ. We are crucified with Christ, and because of that, we should be dead to sin. So when temptations come, we need to remind ourselves of that, that we are dead to sin. Now let's read the next few verses. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There in verse 11, it says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon has the idea of to count or to consider. So you could reword it. Consider yourself dead to sin. So that is the reality, that we need to consider ourselves dead and then follow through with that and live like that, live like we are dead to sin. You can turn with me to 1 John 3. First John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we are children of God, and because of that, we purify ourselves. Purifying ourselves does not make us children of God, but because we are children of God, we purify ourselves. We can remind ourselves that I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. How does that affect how I should respond in this situation? Is this something that a child of God, a child of the King, would do? Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So verse 4 says he has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame. So we are chosen by God, and because of that, that changes how we live. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So here it's clear that it's not our works that give us our identity. Our identity is in Christ, and because God has saved us, he has all kinds of good works for us to do. Part of accepting Jesus as Lord is committing to do whatever he asks of us in the future, those good works that he has planned for us. We don't know all the details ahead of time. That would be overwhelming if we knew every test that that we were going to face. But God leads us a step at a time, and like John shared last Sunday, each time he gives us the power to do the next right thing. Speaking of workmanship, like it says here, I thought of the story called You Are Special, where there's the wood carver Eli and his carved wooden people, the Wemmicks, and they give each other dots and stars based on whether they think they're a good person or not. And there's one that the stars and dots don't stick to. And that is because she goes and meets with the woodcarver every day. And he's the one that made her. And she finds her acceptance and identity in him instead of what the other people think of her. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John 15, verses 12 through 16. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So here, Jesus calls us his friends, and yet that friendship has conditions. It comes with expectations. Jesus is our friend, and he's also our master. So there's that almost seem like two things that'd be hard to put together, a master and a friend in one person, but that is who Jesus is. Now let's look at our identity in the body of Christ. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So we have an in some sense, an individual identity in the body of Christ, because we each have specific roles and gifts, but we also have a group identity, and we can't live life on our own. We need the other members of Jesus' body. One body part can't do anything by itself. If you think of your finger or your hand disconnected from your arm, it couldn't do anything. And we can't stay alive disconnected from the body. So we need each other in the body of Christ. I'll read 1 Peter 2:9 in ESV. It says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So there again, it states who we are. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, all of those things. And then it says what the result of that is supposed to be, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him. Let's look, last of all, at Ephesians 2:19. "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So we're not doing our own thing, for sure, not individually, and not even as a congregation. As it says here, we're a continuation of what Jesus and the apostles started. We're part of God's building that he has been constructing over the centuries. And we're a small part of that. So our identity is, first of all, in Christ, but inseparable from that is our identity in his body. The local church, the global church, and the church throughout all of time. Sometimes we might feel small and insignificant, and in some ways we are, but God is our Father, and we are part of his family, and that is where our identity is.